Okay. Well, look, I'm Jeff Quartermaine, the Chairman and CEO of Perseus Mining Limited. Perseus is an Australian mining company that's very focused in its activities on the African continent, where we currently operate three mines, two in Côte d'Ivoire, one in Ghana. We also have development properties in Tanzania and in Sudan. The company has been progressing particularly strongly. We have over $700 million US of cash on the balance sheet, no debt, and in a very, very strong position to continue to deliver growth and benefits to all stakeholders.
Jeff, good to see you. We obviously caught up in London when you were over, but you've just put out the Q1 numbers. Give us the headline.
Yeah, look, another very good quarter for Perseus, very consistent with what we've been delivering in previous periods. So 127,471 ounces for the quarter, which is fractionally down, 1% down on the prior quarter. But in terms of ounces per day, are pretty much identical. All-in site costs are a touch up on previous quarters at a little over $1,000 an ounce. Our average sale price is over $2,000 an ounce, $2,025 an ounce, giving a margin, an average margin on each ounce of $934 per ounce for the quarter, which has led to notional cash flow of around $119 million for the quarter, leaving us with a cash balance at the end of the period of $702 million and no debt. So very strong performance, very strong position for the company.
Fantastic. And I think the general reaction from Macquarie and Canaccord I see is very positive. So you continue to deliver quarter after quarter. But I guess the question in people's minds is going to be around growth. Growth from organic and inorganic. And maybe, if you don't mind, can we start with the Tanzania project? You're going to have to integrate. You're going to have to try and, you know, well, not just the project, but the team, etc. Where are you with Tanzania?
Okay, well, look, on the 17th of this month, just a few days ago, we went past the 90% ownership level, which puts us into compulsory acquisition. So for all intents and purposes, the acquisition is finished. The offer closed on the 19th, and it's now, you know, head down, tail up, get on and develop the project. I've just come back from Tanzania last night, in fact, where our CFO and our head of business development and I spent a number of days talking to key stakeholders to pave the way for the development or the commencement of development of the project. And I can say that the reception that we received from all levels of government, local government, central government, and from our team in Tanzania has been absolutely first class. And people are extremely keen to see progress on the ground. And we are particularly keen to deliver that progress. So while we've been away, we've designed a number of work programs that will be implemented immediately, basically leading it to a final investment decision around the end of this calendar year. And then arguably right. 18 to 24 months to come into commercial production. So we've hit the ground.
If I may, Jeff, I just want to sort of understand. So those are the kind of broad timelines. In terms of the kind of initial steps, because that will kind of set the tone, as it were, for that integration, is over the next couple of quarters, what specifically do you need to focus on to kind of get this right?
Well, the very, very, very near term is we need to share with the Minister for Mines what the timeline is going to be precisely over the next couple of years. And as we told him the other day, and he will relay to Parliament in due course, that we aim to have this project in production in 2027, at the beginning of 2027. So that's the broad target. Now, in order to get things moving, there are three streams of work that will be conducted immediately. So the first of these is to continue the work on the relocation, housing and compensation to landowners who are resident of the mining lease, basically. Now, that work has been commenced, but we'll continue to do that in a significant way. The second work stream that we will implement immediately is to drill out the ore body, to do a little more drilling than was previously done. And the object of that is to convert some inferred resources inside the optimized pit shell into measured and indicated, which means that they can then be brought into the mine plan. And the third stream of work is the front-end engineering and design, which to some degree requires some of that results of the drilling, but largely it can continue without that information. We assess that about a 5.5 million ton plant is the right scale for the operation that we're seeking to do. And we'll get working with our engineering partners on that. And as I say, move towards a final investment decision at the end of the year, which will mean having to have a very, very detailed and fully costed design available to us, have a full financial model agreed with the government to indicate quite clearly the sharing of benefits from the project to all stakeholders.
Right, and I know you're probably going to be, we'll talk about this in a second in terms of the organic growth, but when you look at this project in a high price gold environment with, more importantly, higher margin potential, does that sort of affect or change your thinking in terms of maybe what you originally bought into with discussions with with the previous management?
Not really. Look, we have long term gold price targets, we have returns on capital targets, et cetera, et cetera. Now we analyze this opportunity at a much lower gold price than the spot price today. And that's, we're comfortable with the returns that indicates. Now the fact that the price is higher today, if it was in production today, it would be delivering an even bigger margin than what we'd estimated. But of course the opposite is true as well. If the gold price was lower, then those margins would be eroded. So when we do our analysis, we don't respond to every movement in the market. We take a long-term view and we back ourselves to deliver that outcome over a period of time.
Right, okay. So, and let's kind of jump in onto the current portfolio. You mentioned there's some sort of tweaking there to be done in terms of driving driving the margins, driving efficiencies. Well, what's happened this quarter? You said you have a few things that you needed to deal with, which has affected the AISC this quarter.
Oh, look, that's in the operating side. As we flagged to the market last quarter, that due to the wet weather and various things, we had fallen behind our earth movement program, a material movement program at Yaouré. Now, this quarter, we sought to catch up that lost ground, and we did to a degree, and that's brought with it some additional cost. In the next quarter, the June quarter, we'll see more of that as we move more material. What we've asked our contractor to do is to bring in additional equipment to help them move the material that needed to have been moved in order to be on target. We expect that by around the middle of the year, call it June 30 plus or minus a short period, we should be back on track and everything will be back to normal. But that led to a slight elevation in our costs. So we were above $1,000 an ounce this quarter, whereas last quarter we were below $1,000 an ounce. But the impact is not dramatic, but we think it's important that the market understand what is going on in that regard.
Absolutely. And I'll ask this question now, but about the current portfolio. In terms of the high gold price environment, high margin environment, are you reassessing the way that you tackle, the way that you come at some of your existing projects, which perhaps in a lower price environment you may not have considered?
Yeah, no, very much so. So we've actually just undertaken a little exercise on that, particularly at the Edikan mine. You might note that Edikan came into commercial production in 2012 at a time when the gold price was in under a lot of pressure, let's just say. And so perhaps some of the growth opportunities at that time didn't look so good at a $1,100-$1,200 gold price. So what we are doing is going back to look at some of those decisions that were taken 10 years ago in the light of an elevated gold price and saying, well, can we generate the margins that we would like to generate now, given that the gold price is a bit higher than what it was in those days? And I have to say that certainly anecdotally, I haven't seen the numbers myself, but anecdotally from the team who is looking at these things, we are very encouraged about some of those opportunities.
Okay. And I guess, again, we're talking numbers and in this quarterly conversation. You're going to be asked about, again, the free cash flow which you're producing. You've added to the existing cash balance. People are going to wonder, what are you going to do with it? Obviously, this acquisition in Tanzania answers one part of that, but you're still going to be throwing off a lot of cash, no doubt, as you say. What do you do with it? What's the best allocation of capital?
Well, look, we've articulated to the market fairly clearly our growth strategy, and that is using both organic and inorganic means. We want to upgrade the quality of our asset portfolio. So, as a general target, we would like to have at least four mines which has a mine life of in excess of 10 to 15 years in the portfolio and an ore reserve inventory of 10 to 12 million ounces. So that's what we're targeting to do. Now, we're partway there at this particular time. We have three assets in our portfolio that are capable of supporting that style of production, and that they are the Yaouré mine, the Nyanzaga asset, and the Meyas Sand asset. We also have a couple of other mines that have short life. So, you know, having articulated that that is what our growth objectives are, we will be seeking to, you know, to achieve that, and that involves potentially exploration, it involves potential acquisition, and it involves development, all of which require some of the cash that's on our balance sheet, but not all. Bearing in mind that, you know, each day we produce around 1,500 ounces of gold, and at the moment the margin's about $1,275 an ounce, if I calculated that correctly earlier this morning, which I think works out at something like $1.875 million of cash flow onto the balance sheet every day. So not only, you know, do we have the cash that's there at the moment to fund those growth aspirations, but we will be continuing to replenish those balances as we use them, which then brings the question that you've asked, which is, okay, so what are you going to do with all that? And we've said quite clearly that, you know, capital management is important for us. And at the end of each financial reporting period, we will look at the situation, see what our existing cash balances are, what the surplus is, and see how much can be reasonably returned to shareholders, taking into account all of the things that we're seeking to do. Now, we do have a dividend policy that is targeting delivering an annualized yield of 1% on the company. Now, some people have challenged whether that's the right approach or not, and, you know, maybe there are better ways of doing things. We're always keen to learn. But what we also do is, in addition to that base dividend, in the past, we paid a bonus on top of that. So, for instance, last year, we paid a base of 1% yield. We paid a bonus of 1% yield. When we get to June 30, or you know, it'll be August by the time we're about to publish our results, we'll have a look at that and see, is this the right way of bringing money back to shareholders? Should we be looking at capital returns? Would we be better off to consider a share buyback? Or is our policy of the base plus a bonus dividend appropriate under the circumstances? These are all things that we'll examine very carefully. We'll take advice where appropriate, and hopefully we make the right decision for our shareholders.
Okay, and just leave me give me a reminder in terms of total allocation on drilling, in terms of how many dollars, how many meters will you be delivering with the current portfolio this year?
It's probably easier for me to say that our annual budget runs at around $50 million for organic growth activities. And, you know, that's not a use it or lose it situation. That is a very carefully constructed program with various gates in there. So the guys will do a certain amount of work. If that work justifies further expenditure, then there's capital allocated to it. If not, then we seek to deploy the capital in other means, in other ways.
Right. We're seeing a lot of M&A. I think recently Westgold picked up Karora Resources in West Australia. We've been, well, at least five companies have been buying. I think framing it as merging rather than acquiring makes it sound nicer, doesn't it? It's less aggressive. But in terms of the way that you have targeted, you know, Tanzania, and the way that you have built up this kind of cash reserve, but why do you think you've kind of got a good model, a better model than maybe some of the other M&A activity we're seeing out there? I think last year was a case of desperation. I think people sort of struggling to get noticed and get heard and raise money. This year seems to be some slightly better deals out there. Can you sort of describe your philosophy around M&A?
Yeah, look, I don't think I've ever been accused of saying we have a better model. We have our model. Whether people judge it as being better or not is in the eye of the beholder. Look, as far as M&A is concerned, I mean, we have a target in the sense we have the skill set to explore, to engineer, to build, to operate. So our sweet spot is, you know, I guess projects that are in a PFS or a DFS sort of stage where we can add value through, you know, our internal capabilities, so that we know that the target spot. There are not a lot of projects that fit into that target zone, which we can see can generate the returns that we require, because the returns that we're seeking are not point forward their returns on total capital employed, including the acquisition price, the cost. Quite often you'll see in a junior company's DFS statement, you know, some pretty grand internal rates of return or NPVs and things like that. Frankly, what they overlook is the cost to acquire the company. And they also, in many instances, also conveniently overlook the cost of repatriating cash back to your balance sheet from, you know, foreign destinations. And I can say from personal experience that, you know, you can leak quite a bit of cash if you don't structure yourself properly along the way. We take all of those things into account. We're very thorough in the way we look at these situations. And, you know, I guess we have been relatively successful in the transactions that we've executed to date. And I'm talking about, of course, Amara, Orca, and Exor, which is a small one in Cote d'Ivoire. And then, of course, more recently, Orcorp.
Right. And if I may just talk about back to the sort of the organic thing, just sort of thoughts that run through my head there. With regards to your sort of target for organic growth in terms of building up the resource, building up the reserve, and continuing to build up resource and reserve organically, you've got line of sight on certainly forecasting you know, production levels out the next sort of 2-3 years. Can we expect to see more M&A from you? Is there a need to, or is that really a question of what the drill bit returns?
The M&A piece is opportunistic. When opportunities present, we have the capacity to execute, and that is, I think, the competitive advantage, as it were, that we have. We don't need to go through intricate financing arrangements or things. If we think the thing is worth it, we can pay cash, as we did in the Orcorp case, or alternatively use paper, as we've done in the past. So I think, you know, it is an opportunistic. The inorganic side is opportunistic. The organic side, though, is a far more methodical process. And our organic program is basically in two parts. One is that we're looking at expanding reserves adjacent to existing infrastructure. Now, these are the best ounces that we can find, because we already have a de-risked processing facility in proximity. So that's how we make the most amount of money. So we'll be allocating resources to that sort of exploration, near mine exploration. The second part of our organic program is the longer dated, early stage exploration. And you might recall that last quarter we announced a joint venture with Ajlan Brothers, a Saudi-based company that's also looking for exposure to the mineral sector. And together we bring expertise in the exploration development operating phase. They bring cash and they bring political goodwill as well. The combination perfectly suits exploration on the highly prospective Nubian Shield area in northern Africa, where there are very, very, very large deposits, we believe, of mineral resources that have been untapped in the last 50 years because of general uncertainty around the geopolitical factors that applied in those countries. So together with our Saudi friends, we think that there is an opportunity potentially to unlock some of those mineral resources now, and also into the Kingdom of Saudi itself, where there are tenders on projects being conducted by the government there. So that sort of activity is very much a long-dated activity that we're not expecting outcomes from that for many years, whereas on the other piece of the organic work, we are expecting to delineate reserves that can replace ore that we deplete every day as we put it through our mills.
Jeff, appreciate the update. You know, and quarter after quarter, keep delivering it, makes it easy for your shareholders, for sure. So, appreciate your time, Slick. We'll see you soon.
Good. Thank you very much, Matt.